You're listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. I want to go over some loose ends from the last show. And what this regards is the timeline of the Orlando shooting. Now, I've followed events like this in the past, and usually it's days, months, sometimes years before you really find out a lot of the details. And many reports, initial reports, are simply wrong. A good example of this one that is it had an AR. Now, AR doesn't refer to assault rifle. It's Armanite rifle. Probably mispronounced that name of the company. It's a company name rifle that was bought out a while ago. And it's just like millions, tens of millions of rifles across the United States. They all operate the same. If they're, and this is what drives me nuts. You have what's called a fully automatic weapon. The best way to think of that is it's a machine gun. You press the trigger and pull it, and it keeps firing until it runs out of ammunition or until the barrel melts down and you have to replace the barrel. You can't have machine guns. You can't buy machine guns. You can try to get one, but the paperwork is so daunting, you'll never get one. So people make a big deal of assault rifles, but they can't explain it. All semi-automatic rifles work the same. You press the trigger down once, it fires one round, one bullet, if you will, or cartridge, and then you press it again. And that's the big difference, and that's virtually all rifles. I'm not saying all, but virtually all. And there are millions of them out there. What the Democrats would like you to believe that there's a certain special weapon. It looks military. It must be bad. Nonsense. They all operate the same. And you would think by now that they know that. They do know it. They're trying to deliberately mislead you about that. And that's a small detail. And there are videos online that I've put in past shows that show that. It's hard to tell the difference. They look very the same, but the difference is for a semi-automatic, you got to keep on pulling the trigger. It's one shot, but the same, more or less the same mechanism is involved. The cartridge is ejected, a new one is put in, and then you got to pull the trigger. Unlike an automatic weapon, you pull the trigger back, it's going to continuous fire. So with a semi-automatic weapon, you can get 60 to 100 rounds off easy. If you know what you're doing, if that's what you want to do. And that drives me nuts about this whole discussion. They're trying to shift the focus away from the person doing it and why he did it, and instead focus on gun control that the American people don't want. We're not going to let any politician, Democrat or Republican, try to infringe on our Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms. In other words, own rifles. Now, why? And I've gone over this before, but I'll say it one more time. The purpose of the Second Amendment is to protect the American people against what? Tyranny, tyrant. When you have career politicians thinking they are king, dictator, tyrant, whatever word you want to use, and can dictate the laws. That's not the way our Constitution works. Only Congress can pass laws, and the president or executive office has to execute faithfully those laws. And that's the problem with Obama, and that will be the problem with Hillary Clinton and most likely even Donald Trump. And why do we have that problem? Because we have two parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, that for the last 125 years have succeeded in dramatically increasing the size, the scope, the role of the federal government. That's why I don't have a candidate or a party to any longer to vote for. And unfortunately, that's the situation with tens of millions of Americans. Now, there's some people that will always be Democrats and some people that will always be Republicans, no matter what. That's sad, because they need to face reality. What's going on? You see, I don't think Donald Trump is the savior here or the messiah, nor did I think Barack Obama was. Yes, some politicians are better than others. And the game that's played, and I heard it on the radio today, and I've heard it from Republicans, it's obvious. You see there, if you look at the majority of talk show hosts today, most of them were former DJs. Disc jockeys. In other words, they used to play records. That's how they got their start in the business. Nothing wrong with that. You got to start somewhere, and that's where they started. Others were attorneys. Now, remember, other than local talk radio, it really took off nationally, where you have nationally syndicated shows, with Rush Limbaugh's show in 1988. And I was an early listener and really liked him. Then he lost his hearing in one ear, then another. And some, it's subtle, but his show did change. Nothing wrong with that. But most talk show hosts pick sides. It's easy to do that. Now, most of them are Republicans. There are a few Democrats, but most of them are Republicans. And I would say probably the majority of them are conservative. There are a few talk show hosts that are libertarians. At least that's what they say they are. But you got to listen closely. I'm a classical liberal. That's fairly close to libertarian. I'm not a member of the Libertarian Party. At one time, for many, many, many years, I voted Republican. But one day, I finally took a hard look at what both parties were doing. And the way, I always say, follow the money. People can say anything and will say anything to get your vote. That's a sad fact, but it's true. They will lie, mislead you, butter you up, compliment you, charm you. They'll do what's necessary to get the vote. So I said, okay, I'm going to look at the money, specifically the U.S. budgets for the federal government and the national debt. And if you really try to do that objectively, it's abundantly clear, both under the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, we've run massive deficits, and that in turn means massive debt. And to finance and pay the bills, not only did we pile on the debt, we started to print money, so-called quantitative easing. In other words, we're beyond fiscal responsibility. We're nowhere near a balanced budget. And that gets to the heart of it. And that's something you can't sweep under the rug. And my question to both parties is, what are you going to do about it? The answer is, from both parties, they're not going to do anything about it. A sad conclusion. And will Donald Trump do anything about it? Well, we'll find out after he gets elected. I'm not optimistic. I'm willing to be surprised, though. Now, what's been in the news the last couple of days, and I'll get back to the Orlando timeline in just a minute. What everyone's talking about, the last filing of Hillary Clinton, she had over $40 million, and Donald Trump is down to under $2 million. Now, from a business point of view, I'm more impressed with someone, not that they get a lot of money and waste a lot of money. She has a large campaign staff, and that's why she's raising this money, both internally to the United States and externally. And she's wasting a lot of money. She needs all the help she can get because, ladies and gentlemen, she is boring. She's reading her speeches to small crowds. She's reading her speeches off a teleprompter. She's not giving a spontaneous speech. For example, the speech yesterday, and I have a clip of it. I caught the video prior to when the actual speech. I said yesterday. The speech was today. Earlier today. It was in a very, very small hall. I don't think there were more than 300 people, and that's probably the high number. And they're mostly Democratic Party officials, you know, husbands, wives, like that. It wasn't a huge crowd like Donald Trump draws. Nothing even close to it. It's actually embarrassing. But you don't see that because there's always a tight shot of the speaker. Actually, they have three they have a tight shot, an intermediate shot, and that's just the speaker and the flags. And in this case, you could see the teleprompter. And then they pull back a little bit to show you the people in the front rows. What you don't see is the whole hall is not big at all. So you think it's a huge crowd, and she tries to give you the, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, like there are hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of people there. There may be 300 people. That's one way big lie media lies to you. You know, Donald Trump repeatedly complains they never show the audience unless there's a disruption. Now, why is Donald Trump attracting a large crowd? The conclusion I've come up to, it's not Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. And that may surprise you. Well, what are you talking about? The American people are sensitive to certain issues. And usually they vote their pocketbook. And I've said it repeatedly. It's jobs. What they want is good-paying jobs. Not only good-paying jobs, challenging jobs that give you benefits, health insurance, retirement plans. And that's the majority of the American people. They want a job that puts a roof over their head, food on the table, provides them clothing, cars, whatever they need. They want job security. And they do want a job that when they go to, it's interesting and challenging, and they're rewarded. For all practical purposes, the majority of the American people have not had a wage increase for going on 16 years. The economy has been stagnating. That you see that in the aggregate economic statistics and what the median and average income of a house, they use households, think of it as families. What has it done over time? And it's flattened out, and that's the problem. And our economy is growing at less than the trend line of between 3 and 3.5%. It's growing now under 1%. And this is the first time in U.S. history over that 7.5 years that Obama has been president where the economy has not grown at 3%. It hasn't got back to the trend line, nor in most recovery. See, what happens is when you come out of recession, which we did in June 2009, the economy starts expanding again, growing. Think of it as growing. And usually during that phase of the recovery and now the expansion, we grow at higher rates, 4, 5, 6%. Over many, many months and many, many years, that hasn't happened at all. Oh, yes, we've had one or two quarters or months of where we're at 4%. But generally, they've been growing at 2%, 2.2%, right around there. That's like going at two-thirds speed. Right now, I think we're on the verge of a global depression. Now, I hope I'm wrong. I'm not making a forecast at all. But there are too many countries that are already in recession, and even though the United States has not had two consecutive quarters of negative growth, we're at the brink. And we'll know by the end of next week. Let me back up. GDP, real GDP information, comes out quarterly. And you have three estimates, the advanced, the second, and third. We know January, February, March, the second estimate, the economy was growing at 0.8%. That's not good, folks. You want to be growing at 3, 4, 5, 6%, not 0.8%. So the second quarter is April, May, and June. So by the end of July, we'll know the advance estimate. And by the end of August, we'll have a very good idea how the second quarter turned out. Now, everything I'm hearing, it probably is going to be between 1 and 2%. But I don't know. That's just a guess on my part. And they'll say, wow, terrific, it's improving from the first quarter, but what's the but? It's not 3%. It's not 4%. And we're not increasing the monthly jobs by 300,000. Now, I'm giving this intro because this issue of economic growth is not going to go away. As far as I'm concerned, this is the issue of this campaign. And the American people want to know what each candidate is going to do to turn around the economy. Now, you need to understand, and this is very, very important, governments don't create jobs. Presidents don't create jobs. What presidents and Congress, or in other words, the state can do is create the conditions where you have people creating jobs. In other words, encourage people that have a good idea, entrepreneurs, business owners, to start a new business. It's risky. You're investing your time, you're investing your money, and at least half of the small businesses fail. But what we're after, where the jobs are created, more than two-thirds are in the small businesses. That's where the overwhelming majority of jobs are. And some of those businesses become giants, household names. Takes years, but it happens. So you want the birth of not hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands. You want hundreds of thousands of new businesses being created. To do that, they need strong economic incentives, and that means lower tax rates, lower taxes generally, a lot less regulation, and what businessmen want is a reduction in uncertainty. Seldom talk about, but you talk to businessmen, it's the uncertainty that drives them nuts, and it also drives them to become conservative in the sense they will hold off. They won't spend money and invest in their company, especially if they think the economy is going to go into recession. Now, I'm giving this background because the winner of this contest between the Democrats and the Republicans, and I think Hillary's going to be nominated, so is Donald Trump, will be the candidate that can best convince the American people that they know what needs to be done. And I listen to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and it's more of the same, so scratch them. You know, if you want a stagnating economy, vote for Hillary Clinton. If you want to pay more taxes, do that. And I listen to her speech, and supposedly she's going to be giving a very specific speech tomorrow. Well, we'll see. And I'm going to play some of her speech a little later in the show. But I want to make very, very clear there are certain issues that are dominating it. One is the economy and jobs. The second is national security. People want to be secure. They don't want to live in communities where you have terrorist attacks. Now, the reason why Donald Trump is winning is not because he's Donald Trump. Sorry, Mr. Trump, I give you a lot of credit. Took a lot of guts, energy to pull off what you did. Won 37 states, nearly, I think, 14 million votes. Impressive, especially when all the pundits, not me, but mostly all the pundits, didn't give him a chance. They joked about him. They considered him a clown. They thought he'd be out of the race within a month or two. They were very dismissive. The problem is most of these pundits live in New York and Washington and the surrounding suburbs. They suffer from what I call groupthink, and they need to get out more. They're not going to get out more, but they need to. And now, right now, they're somewhat dancing on the grave. They think, well, Hillary has the money. Hillary is back. She has the nomination. She's going to win. Keep thinking that, folks. I don't see it at all, because the American people are in open rebellion. They are tired with both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. This election is an outsider election, and the only outsider running is Donald Trump. His first public office that he's running for is president. That in and of itself is historical. We like to talk about history being made. Well, that would be historical. The first time he runs, he wins. Not only the primaries, but the general election. Now, you might say I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't think so. Donald Trump has in his mind how he is going to win both the primaries and the general election. And so far, he has not really stumbled at all. Everyone is going to make mistakes in a campaign. That's to be expected. The key is to learn from the mistakes and recover from those mistakes as quick as possible. And Trump is playing the media. Now, what Trump, I don't think right now, understands. Most Americans could care less about politics, and they truly do not focus in on the candidates really late October, with one qualification. What Hillary Clinton is trying to do, and what Trump needs to do, she, every chance she gets, she's on the attack. She's trying to make her candidacy come over. She's the calm, cool, collective, experienced person. When anyone doing research, no, she's not. She has a temper. She curses like a sailor. She's not cool and collected. She's just the opposite. She's very, very temperamental, but that's what she accuses Donald Trump of. So she's trying to first, and this is why Donald Trump has to pay attention, and I hope he hires several communications pros on this. Messaging is very important. Every day you have to have a message emphasizing certain parts of your campaign, making key points, but you also have to attack your opponent. And that's what Hillary Clinton is doing. and you want to be on the news. Now, Donald Trump, I believe, knows all this. But the key is execution. Right now, what Donald Trump is doing, and so has Hillary Clinton been doing, is try to raise money first for the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And he really needs to raise money from the donor class. And that's where he has a problem, because the donor class, the people that make the big contributions, largely the owners and executives of large businesses, they don't like Donald Trump. Donald Trump is not their cup of tea. Why? They can't control him. It comes right down to that. A way to say it, he's not bought and paid for. Hillary Clinton's bought and paid for a long time ago. She has sold out the American people a long time ago. She's not going to admit that or say that, but that's just the reality. And yeah, a majority of her money comes from unions. It comes from the financial services industry, attorneys, accountants, anyone that truly believes that the answer to society's problems is more and more government. And that's a lot of people. Not trying to minimize that. In other words, she has her supporters and a network. And she knows what she's doing, and she's seen her husband do it. She knows how the game is played, and she has people that in the past have proven themselves. She has what I would call an organization, and she has money. And with that, you get speechwriters and you get speeches, messages. And I went over this yesterday. You need mama to win. The candidate with the most mama wins. Now, mama does not refer to your mother. It refers to money, organization, message, momentum, if you have the first three, and ambition. You need fire in the belly. The reason you need fire in the belly, you need to be doing this every day. Every day, you need to be optimizing or maximizing what you're doing. You can't waste time, and you need to focus on raising money. You need to focus on your organization. But the key is, when you're delivering the message, it has to be clear, concise, convincing, and most importantly, you have to connect with the people. And you listen to Hillary Clinton's speech, fairly good speeches, but she doesn't connect with her audience. People don't like her, and the only way they get anyone in that audience is to make sure the party faithful attend. Now, why is that? It's the issues. You see, Donald Trump could go away tomorrow. He might throw up his hands and say, I'm out of here. Now, I don't think he's going to do that. But let's say he did. The American people are looking for someone that is going to address their concerns. And the problem is, what the American people have rightly perceived is the United States went wrong about 15 to 20 years ago. Now, some would say further than that. Remember, what's been going on, this long-range trend towards bigger, more invasive government. And I use the word government. I cringe when I say that. What I really want to say is the state. The state is getting bigger and bigger by assuming a role that past societies, society handled. In other words, individuals handle it, families did it, charities, churches, businesses. Now we have the government. And what do you find? And Orlando's a great case of that. You can't depend on government. And people are slowly but surely realizing that. Unfortunately, you can lose your life if you depend on the government. They're not going to protect you from a radical Islamic terrorist. They're not. They will, however, go after your guns. And that's exactly what Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and the Democratic Party tried to do this week in the Senate. They tried to make Orlando into a gun issue. Well, I have a news flash for them. It's not working, but keep on saying it, because the more you say it, the more turnout Donald Trump is going to have in the election. Donald Trump is more or less solid on the Second Amendment. He's not perfect, but he's solid. He's not perceived to be a gun grabber. And I hope he's not fooled with this assault rifle nonsense, because it is nonsense. People have their Second Amendment rights to protect themselves against tyrants, a tyranny happening. And what we have in Washington today is an oligarchy. We don't have one-man rule. No large state has one-man rule. It's a oligarchy of key people. At most, several thousand. It's the leadership of both political parties. It's also the media. It's also corporate executives. So I'm emphasizing that the issue doesn't go away with the American people about jobs. The issue doesn't go away when you threaten their Second Amendment. The issue does not go away when the illegal alien invasion of this country continues. So anyone that wants to run for office that has an ability to articulate messages that are clear, concise, convincing, and most importantly, connect or resonate with the American people is going to win, whether he's running for Congress, whether he's running for the Senate, or the presidency, or a local office, because that's something that's usually quickly passed over. The trend to larger and larger government has occurred on the federal level and the state level and the local level. And the bills are coming due. The American people, by at least 2 out of 3, and I think it's higher though, know that this is very much the wrong direction, and most of the career politicians really don't have a clue. What career politicians are all about is themselves. In other words, they want to first get power by running for office, and then they want to keep it. And that is the one weakness of the United States Constitution. It depends very much on principled people running for office with character. And they wanted and assumed that people would spend a few years being a congressman or a representative or a senator and then go home. They don't go home. They stay there. Because once they're in office, they realize they have what's called the incumbent advantage. So you have people that have been in the Senate 20, 30 years or more, and the same in the House. And they like it. I don't think I would, but they like the benefits, they like the attention, and they go along. A good example is Paul Ryan. On the surface, very likable, smart, ambitious, hard worker, but he sold out a long time ago. He is very much a corporate globalist, bought and paid for by some of the large corporations in the United States, including Apple, and they give to his campaign. And he's one of the individuals that's been critical of Trump. Now, he's the House Speaker. He can say and do anything he wants. He wanted to run for president in 2020, and at the very latest, 2024. I don't think he's going to succeed, because the American people are on to him as to what he's doing, because he's wrong on the immigration issue. You see, you have a choice. You either can suck up, and that's the right word, suck up to the donor class. In other words, become a bought and paid politician. And most politicians are, both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. They've sold you out a long time ago. Does that mean all of them? No. I think there's probably maybe at most 100 people in the House and the Senate that haven't sold out. That might be very optimistic on my part, but that's the problem, because that means there are over 400 that have, and that's what you're up against. So nothing is going to change as long as we have the two-party tyranny. Now, I listened to talk radio, and I'll get back to my point that most of them are Republicans in talk radio. Not all of them, but most of them. They picked a side, and they picked the Republican Party, and they salute it, and they suck up to the candidates. They would like them on their shows. I'm not sure I would. Now, if someone requested, I'd consider it, but I'm going to ask you the tough questions. I'm not going to ask you sugar-coated questions, especially if you don't have the interests of the American people at heart. And the majority of them don't. They're very good talkers. The best of them are good talkers. I'm a good talker. But I always say talk is cheap and ideas are a dime a dozen. It's results that count, and that is where the career politician fails. And the American people know that the direction we're going into is very much a corporate status world, and that's what they're up against. And right now, most of your media, what I call big lie media, they don't like Trump. I understand that. And they're trying to convince the American people that Hillary Clinton is the person. God forbid if she's elected. Now, I've said many times, at some point between now and January 20th, she's going to be pardoned. And once she's pardoned, whether she's elected president or not, the investigation goes away. A lot of people are betting strongly, and early on I was, that there was no way in the world that the Justice Department would have to, based on the evidence and the crimes, charge and indict Hillary Clinton. Oh, they'll go through the motions, but to the very last minute, the last day maybe of Barack Obama's term, he's going to pardon her, and Hillary Clinton is going to accept that part. Now, she might be accepted as president or accepted as the loser. And then what happens? It's over with in terms of putting her in jail. Now, if she's lost, great. She can go back to New York and let New Yorkers put up with her. Her career is over. And that's what I think is going to happen. So right now, she's in terms of her backers, think she's riding high. She's doing well. She's beating Trump. Not really. Because she's a bore. She's not liked. People do know she's under criminal investigation by the FBI. They're waiting for that shoe to drop. She's not a winner, to use Donald Trump's terminology. And the reason why Barack Obama is supporting her, in his mind, she's his third term, and he strongly wants a third and fourth term for what he favored. The American people have rejected him. Gets back to trust. This election is very much a trust election. Who do you trust? Can you trust either of these people? Now, I've concluded you can't. Doesn't mean one's not better than the other. I would definitely trust Trump before I'd ever trust Hillary Clinton. And I think the majority of the American people are going to come to that conclusion. But the only way that's going to happen is Donald Trump has to get his act together, and I think he is getting his act together. Right now, up to now, he's been very successful running a very, very efficient campaign. But you have to up your game, and there's right now the big hurdle for him. I think there will be an attempt, and I think it will be a failed attempt, by the Never Trump crowd to try to steal the election from him. I don't think it's going to happen. When I say the election, the nomination from him, I don't think it's going to succeed. And I don't think their hearts are in it, although there's still people still criticizing and still think the convention, they're going to yank him away. They're going to get a hook around him and take him off the stage and replace him with someone else. Right now, that's the focus of Donald Trump, one of the focuses of Donald Trump's efforts. He wants to make sure he has the right people that have dealt with both the Rules Committee, the Credential Committee, to make sure that type an attempt does not succeed, and I think he's making the right moves in that area. The problem is you can't just focus on one thing. You've got to focus on a number of things, not only making sure you control that convention and win, get the nomination, put your people in, and that's what he needs to do. You also need the money, not only for the Republican Party, but from the people that support you to contribute the big bucks to your campaign. And I think he'll succeed at that. Now, yesterday I mentioned don't trust the polls. Now, there are three polls out. I didn't put them on my notes. And let me make a brief announcement. The way you listen to this show is go to procpops.wordpress.com. And if you do that, under my photograph, you'll have links to the most recent 60-80 shows. Under that, you have my what I call my show notes or show prep. And that consists of photographs, cartoons, videos, articles on whatever I'm covering. Now, what I didn't post there is three recent polls in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Florida. For all practical purposes, Donald Trump, it's too close to call in those two states. Those are key states. And that's why they're watched. Florida, he's behind. But I think what I'm saying is way too early to give credence to these polls at all. Now, that's good news for Trump. And what I'm trying to say, Trump has had a bad patch. You're always going to have that in any campaign. I don't care if you have the best people. It's only human to make mistakes. The big mistake is getting off message. In other words, like I said, and this is where discipline is key, and you need a communications director, literally every day, every week, you got to say, okay, on Monday, we're going to talk about gun control. Tuesday, we're going to talk about illegal immigration. Wednesday, we're going to talk about the economy. And the way you really do that, you really map out a week. You have a theme for the week. What is going to be the theme of the week? And then for the 7 days, what are we going to talk about? You need a good message. It needs to be well written and, most importantly, delivered by your candidate, and you don't get distracted. Now, that's the ideal. What's the problem? Things happen, and your opponent is going to attack you. You need a response team. Up to now, Trump responds all by himself. He's a team of one, an army of one in terms of responses. No, you need backup because you're going to be very busy. First, trying to get money to run. Second, appearing at rallies, campaign events, if you will. And what's important is repetition, the echo chamber, if you will, the big media. And what's the problem there? The big media or big lie media, they don't like them. Oh, yes, you can listen to Fox, but what's happening at ABC, NBC, and CBS? They're all in for Hillary. So you got to go over their heads. You got to make news. I've been listening to Hillary, and let me just play a clip. I'm running out of time, but I need to play a clip on Hillary. And I want you to listen to this. Now, I listened for, I'll play about 2 to 3 minutes. Well, I'll play this.
A few weeks ago, I said his foreign policy proposals and reckless statements represent a danger to our national security. But you might think that because he has spent his life as a businessman, he'd be better prepared to handle the economy. Well, it turns out he's dangerous there, too. Just like he shouldn't have his finger on the button, he shouldn't have his hands on our economy. Now, I don't say that because of typical political disagreements. Liberals and conservatives say Trump's ideas would be disastrous. The Chamber of Commerce and labor unions, Mitt Romney and Elizabeth Warren, economists on the right and the left and the center all agree Trump would throw us back into recession. One of John McCain's former economic advisors actually calculated what would happen to our country if Trump gets his way. He described the results of a Trump recession. We would lose 3.5 million jobs, incomes would stagnate, debt would explode, and stock prices would plummet. And you know who'd be hit the hardest? The people who had the hardest time getting back on their feet after the 2008 crisis. One of the leading firms that analyzes the top threats to the global economy, called the Economist Intelligence Unit, comes out with a new list of threats every month. It includes things like terrorism and the disintegration of Europe. And this month, number 3 on the list is Donald Trump becoming President of the United States. Just think about that. Every day we see how reckless and careless Trump is. He's proud of it. Well, that's his choice. Except when he's asking to be our president. Then it's our choice.
Now, couple of points. This was billed as an economic speech, but she does this repeatedly. It's a pattern here, and it's to be expected. She did it when she had a foreign policy speech and really spent most of the speech attacking Trump, which she did here. And it's her speech. She can say what she wants. It's really an attack speech. She's trying to paint Donald Trump as temperamental, reckless. What she's really saying, he'd be incompetent. And I think that's almost an exact description of her and Obama. When she went through what Donald Trump was going to produce, I said, well, that's what Barack Obama's producing. Now, what's important here, Donald Trump has to go and answer this and go on the attack. That's why communications and the crafting of the message is important. That's why you need someone, actually you need a staff, that is following Hillary around. You need one person, or you could get it off the internet. And when she says things like that, as soon as possible, not necessarily minutes, but within hours, you'll have a response to it. It's well written, well crafted, and then the candidate, this case Donald Trump, has it, and he responds to it. Tit for tat. The worst thing to do is to let this stand for too long. The response should be that day or at the very latest the next day. But you also need to be on offense. That's defense, folks. You need to be on offense. In other words, you need to describe what you would do and convince people. I think Donald Trump has a great campaign slogan, Make America Great Again. But he has to clearly, concisely, convincingly connect with the American people and tell them why. Why and how is it important? How the how is very important. And the answer is not bigger and bigger government. The 3,000 people, approximately, that died on September 11th, 2001, they were depending on government. Our intelligence community, both the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency, the National Security Agency, the FBI, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, to protect them and prevent what happened that day. The government failed us. The state failed us. That's why you need to depend on yourself. You need to have self-awareness. You need to protect yourself because your enemy is the state. And if the state fails, and they always do, you might pay with your life. Many people went to that Pulse nightclub for an evening of entertainment. In preparing the show, I was listening to the stories of the people that lost loved ones, friends, lovers. The last thing on their mind was that a radical Islamic terrorist, yes, born in the United States, of parents that came from Afghanistan, would come into that nightclub and kill 49 people and wound a total of 57. And what did he tell the cops or 911 when he phoned? I pledge allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. May Allah protect him on behalf of the Islamic State. No, he wasn't sent here by the Islamic State. The president thinks that's an important distinction. If you're dead, it doesn't matter if he was sent from the Islamic State or the Islamic State through its social networking, as well as in the mosque. We haven't heard much on that. People don't instantly become radicalized. It takes a little time, and you can't blame it on the internet. It's what he went specific, whatever radicalized him, you saw the end result. He did target the gay community, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community. And I think they understand that. I don't think they have any illusions anymore. And I think they finally understand, don't assume the government or the police or your military is going to protect you. You got to protect yourself. And they died. But what happened? How did many of them die? If you have a serious bullet wound, invariably what happens is there's a lot of bleeding. And what's absolutely critical is you get to the hospital as fast as possible to what? Stop the bleeding. Otherwise, you'll bleed out. You'll bleed to death. From the time that the shooter entered that club and shot not all the people that he was going to shoot, but a lot of them, some were probably killed instantly. But some were bleeding, and in a space of 3 hours, they died. And I'm not trying to second guess at all the police or the first responders, the teams that eventually broke in. But they had to have been aware of that, because witnesses after witnesses said they heard multiple shots, dozens, hundreds, in that first few minutes. So they had to know that there were people, the victims, the wounded, as well as those killed or dying in there. And they waited 3 hours and they made their move, but the problem was many of those 49 in that 3 hours died by bleeding to death. They died of their wounds. It's absolutely imperative that you get to the person to the hospital. They made the decision to wait, hopefully to save lives. And when they finally punched holes in the walls, tried to distract the shooter with an explosive device, then he killed some more and wounded some more. The people depended on the government. They depended on the police. They depended on the first responders. Some lives were saved, but many lives were lost in those 3 hours. We need to really know all the information, and we'll never really get it for months, maybe years, if ever. The problem we face today is an out-of-control government or state that's being attacked both in the United States and from our enemies abroad, primarily radical Islamic terrorist jihadists. Jihadists are holy warriors. Think of them as soldiers. And that's exactly what this shooter referred to himself as, an Islamic soldier. In other words, a jihadist. And we have a president and a political party that are trying to take and infringe upon the Second Amendment, take the weapons that the American people need to defend themselves against such acts. Donald Trump was right. If you had at least one or two people in that nightclub that could have shot back, maybe many people would be alive and not wounded. And that's what the founding fathers knew. Tyrants will, it doesn't matter whether they're on the right or the left, communists, socialists, fascists, kings, the first thing they want to do is disarm the people. And that's what Barack Obama is trying to do. That's what Hillary Clinton is trying to do. That is what Democratic candidate after Democratic candidate is going to do. Terrorist criminals, laws don't stop these acts, and neither do governments. It is up to the American people to wake up, stand up, and defend themselves against the state and the enemies of the state that are trying to attack this country. And they're radical Islamist terrorist jihadis, or jihadist soldiers. We're at war, ladies and gentlemen, and nothing Hillary Clinton says or does will change the situation. She was totally incompetent as a Secretary of State. For that alone, she forfeits any ambition to become president. When you add the crimes of, in terms of the emails and compromising national security, that just makes it worse. And that's the best, the absolute best that the Democratic Party can do. Instead, we have pundits criticizing Donald Trump. I hope Mr. Trump gets his act together. I still think he's going to win, but it requires him to get the support of the American people and more than just his current supporters. He needs to win over conservatives, classical liberals, libertarians. He's never going to get the true believers of the Democratic Party that think the answer for any of society's problems is another law, another tax, another government program, and bigger government, and bigger bureaucracy. Down that road lies serfdom, and we're well down that road. So I hope Mr. Trump steps up and his campaign works. A lot is at stake. But America is going to survive Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. But if it continues down the road to American empire, and we've been on that road for several decades now, all empires decline and fall. They overreach. And you see it today in $100 billion deficits, $100 trillion unfunded liabilities, national debt that will soon be over $20 trillion. In other words, if you follow the money, you see the symptoms. The only thing that will change this is the American people waking up and getting involved. Will they wake up in time? I don't know. As I said in many programs, what many radio talk show hosts do is give you only two choices, Democrat or Republican. And they make fun at you. You have a fantasy of a third party. No, I don't have a fantasy of a third party. I used to use that line. There's not going to be a third party. The deck is stacked against them. I understand that. But what have both parties given you? A huge, massive state that is taking your liberties and freedom. They tried to do it this week, and they unfortunately succeed. Unfortunately succeed. And they believe it. You see, big lie media is both Democrat and Republican. Nothing truly, fundamentally is going to change until we have a viable, successful party based on principles, truly believe in the United States Constitution, and turn this country around. Neither political party is up to the job. Most of them have been bought and paid for. They truly don't care what you think or want or care about. When you're bought and paid for, you have a boss, and the boss is those that give you the money. Some of them are rented out, some are bought and paid for. Donald Trump is an outsider, independently wealthy, and he's made the issues or concerns of the American people regarding jobs, the economy, the illegal alien evasion of 30 to 50 million, a key part of his campaign. I don't know if he's going to deliver on the promises that he's made. I don't even know if he has the right economic policies because it lacks specifics, details. Hopefully, in the next few months, and we don't have much time, July, August, September, October, and a few days in June, about 130 days, every day it counts. And like I said, I don't have a party to vote for, nor do I have a candidate to vote for. So it's up to Mr. Trump to convince me not to stay home, but to vote for him. If he can't do that, I'll let the American people decide. Maybe it'll be Hillary Clinton, maybe it'll be Donald Trump. But I'll tell you what will remain. The issues, the concerns, the interest of the American people are not going to change. And it's only a matter of time as more and more people leave the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. At some point, you reach a tipping point, and a new party will emerge and will truly believe in free market capitalism, believe in the United States Constitution, want to return this nation to a republic, not an empire. And when that happens, and it will take decades, we will have peace and prosperity. Until then, we have the status quo, and your sons and daughters will die both abroad and in a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida. Thank you for listening. Now for America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.